If the feds, if this is such not a big deal, why are they blacking out certain parts of their purchase orders so we can't know what the bullets are for? That one, that was one about Fed censors bullet buys. Why are they buying 1.4 billion bullets when they made, you know, before that they never made purchases anywhere close? So those are the kind of questions we're asking.
They have a list compiled, and I haven't seen the list, but they have a list compiled of all these doomsday preppers that have gone public, and they plan to go after them first because they think that they're going to be the worst part of the civil unrest, even though those people are going to be the people sitting at home defending their homes and their own property from those that just want to go crazy and lose their minds.
A bill written in secret by Senator McCain and Senator Carl Levin that would give the U.S. military and not civilian law enforcement agencies the ability to arrest anyone and hold that person indefinitely, even if that person is an American arrested on American soil. Here to discuss this frustrating development is Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul. Before we get into the politics of who voted for it and who voted against it, what's your take on what's going on here? I mean, everybody in the Senate took an oath to uphold the Constitution, which says no person, doesn't even say no American, it says no person shall be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And here they go ahead and vote for legislation that denies it.
Executive order signed by President Obama on March 16, 2012, makes clear that in the event of a nationally deemed emergency, all of the resources will fall under the authority of the United States government. The signing of the National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order grants the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Labor, the Department of Defense, and other agencies complete control of all U.S. resources, including the ability to seize, confiscate, or redelegate resources, materials, services, and facilities as deemed necessary.
We're a long way from home. Welcome to the pleasure dome. On our way home. Going home where love is wrong. Long way from home. Welcome to the pleasure dome.
Hey, and welcome back to NWO3.com. Hey, listen, this episode, we're going to be talking about the police state in the United States and civil disobedience. The mainstream media hasn't been reporting to you a lot of very, very important information that the American people really needs to be aware of. And, you know, I've known about a lot of this stuff for a little while. I've talked about it, touched on it, some of the things a little bit in some of the podcasts, but right now there just seems to be a ramp up of movement towards a civil disobedience and the control of civil disobedience and essentially a police state. So I think it's very important for people to understand what's going on. You're going to need, as anything else that we talk about here and just anything else that happens in our government, you need to look into this stuff. Well, there's a lot of, let me kind of skim over just the main subjects of what I'm going to, topics what I'm going to talk about here concerning this. First one being the NDAA 2012. Now this has become, you know, somewhat mainstream now. I think most people have actually heard of NDAA. They might not know exactly what it is, but you know, there's a lot of people talking about it now. But initially, this was a bill. NDAA is National Defense Authorization Act. This particular one is NDAA 2012. This is a bill that's brought before Congress every year. It is an appropriations bill, which actually allocates or appropriates money for the military per their budget. However, just like any other law that's brought before Congress, there's a lot of pork put in there. There's a lot of extra stuff that's always put in. And this year, there was this additional stuff that has really caused alarm and should cause alarm in with everyone. Specifically, we're talking about Section 1021 and also 1022. I want to make sure I also mention 1022 because people need to read that as well. It actually does soften the blow a little bit, but you need to realize when you read this, and please, I encourage you to read this, this is all legal speak. This is all legal jargon. And when you read this stuff, some of it's a little hard to digest. But one of the critical things that you need to do is usually at the very, very bottom of these bills is the definition section. You would think that they would be at the top. But anyway, there's the definition section of the terms that are used. And that's extremely important in legal documents because in our society, in our government, the intentional twisting or I don't know the right way to say it, but the manipulation of the meaning of words is really surprising. It really is. So that's why it's very critical to read the definitions. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about here is, you know, people, you know, you hear about the Citizens United case, you know, several years ago that the Supreme Court actually ruled that four citizens that are actually saying that the corporations are people. Well, and of course, any right-minded, common sense using human being is going to realize that's the corporations are not people. But now what they were ruling on, they're ruling on the law. They're not ruling on, I wonder what we just think about this. Well, they're ruling on what they think about it according to the law. And if you actually read the law, and in this case, you know, I've looked at it so many times, it's actually, it's a U.S. code. This is Title 26, Section 3001, Paragraph 15, A, B, and C. And it actually states in there, of course, the U.S. code, that is the U.S. law, and this actually states in there, in the definitions, when they talk about a citizen, and they talk about the United States, they actually define the United States. Now, you wouldn't think that they would have to, within the law, as they reference the United States, you wouldn't think they would have to actually provide a definition of the United States, but this is what I'm talking about. This is where things get assumed incorrectly. When you have to read the definitions, and in the definition here, it actually states that the United States is a corporation, and that is verbatim. And that might come as a surprise to people, and I plan on doing a separate podcast on this. In fact, I was actually participating with Marilyn Barnwall a couple of weeks ago on a online radio show on Blog Talk Radio, to where we were actually talking about this, as actually having a Blog Talk Radio episode discussing this. And, you know, because people need to really understand that the United States is a corporation. And if you don't believe me, go out to Dun & Bradstreet, type in United States Corporation, type in United States, whatever, and you're going to come up with many, many examples of this. Now, unfortunately, I don't have a Dun & Bradstreet account, so I can get the listings, but I can't get the detail. In other words, if you have a Dun & Bradstreet account, you can go into each one of these listings, and they will provide you with, you know, the corporate information, the directors, you know, the location, and you can find out in detail about it. But what it does give you in the listing is it does give you the address of these corporations. And if you go look at the various addresses of these corporations named the United States, they you'll be very surprised about the addresses. They're just somebody's home. anyway, I don't want to really get off on that right now. But that the purpose of saying that is that, you know, people would be very, very surprised to, you know, to hear this. But you have to go in and you have to read this stuff. You have to read these definitions. Okay. So now back to the NDAA. What this section 1021 says and what's brought so much alarm is that, in essence, what it boils down to is it allows the U.S. military the ability, and actually the responsibility, that might be the better word, to arrest and detain U.S. citizens on U.S. soil without charge or trial and to imprison them indefinitely. Now, there again, the way it's worded is any of those terms that I mentioned there are allowable. Okay? So it doesn't say that they're going to, if they arrest somebody without charge or trial, that they have to detain them indefinitely. That's not what I'm saying. It allows them to, if they want to. So in other words, they can come to your house, my house, anyone's house, and if they have, they actually have to have a suspicion. And there again, anybody can do this. Anybody can suspect you of being a terrorist or a criminal. Just a suspicion. Then they can arrest you and detain you indefinitely, and you don't get a lawyer, you don't get anything. Well, now if you take that just by itself, it's like, well, yeah, okay, it's, you know, in this world of terrorism that we have today, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Well, this is where you have to use common sense, and also you have to see the bigger picture. I'm sure most of you by now really understand that the war on terror is a full outright hoax. This was designed, engineered just like any other thing in our society, and it's a hoax. And if you understand that, and there again, that's a whole other subject, and hopefully, you know, the majority of you have listened to my previous podcast, you know, covering the events, covering the Council on Foreign Relations, covering the 9/11 situations, you kind of understand the big picture. And it's very important. You have to understand the big picture. If you just take any one of these subjects individually, okay, you might grasp that subject or whatever, but you're not really seeing it all. You have to look at all these things together. So anyway, so NDAA, it's a bad thing. It was ruled unconstitutional by federal judge Catherine Foster. The White House immediately began an aggressive effort to have this ruling overturned. You know, so in other words, the White House really wants this in there for some reason. And that's what we need to be concerned about. So now in addition to that, you know, I hope most people have actually heard, because mainstream media has talked about this, because, you know, mainstream media, one of the main things that they do, and of course the mainstream media is controlled by you know, the cobble that's really running, you know, things. And there again, I hope that you guys have been listening, because, you know, that's not any sort of a conspiracy theory. That's a fact, proven. Surely people understand that by now. Well, and one of their main purposes, besides not providing you with the whole story, is to provide you with the propaganda that they would like. And the biggest area of propaganda, the biggest theme, is fear. And that's what they do. So what the mainstream media has done here is they have provided us with glimpses of upcoming civil disobedience. And they've done this in a variety of ways. I don't watch a whole lot of mainstream media. I do catch some every once in a while. Some of the stories from mainstream media do pop up on a lot of the sites and or telecasts that I do watch. So, and what they do is Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street, personally, I believe that was they actually tried to take advantage of this effort to create a little bit of civil disobedience. Because if you look into Wall Street, if you were involved in it any way whatsoever, you know, you realize that the violence that did occur in some of the cities was initiated. There was FBI paid informants or paid informants that were actually planted there. And there again, this is all it's not a secret. If you just go out there and look for it, it's not broadcast. It's not put on the headlines by any means, but it is out there. You can go out and actually view this. The same as homeland terrorist acts that have occurred since 2001. You know, the Department of Justice has been presented with, it's 508 cases, and this was as of, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, 508 cases of criminal terrorist activity. 508 since 2001. Out of all of those, only 3 were proven to not involve the FBI in the capacity of being complicit with the activity, the initiator of the activity, the provider of the explosives primarily, and every one of those except for 3. Now, you don't hear that from the mainstream media. It's out here. You can go out there and get actually detailed information on this. And there again, I hate even bringing this up now because this podcast is not about that. I'm not actually going to be putting that here. But just go out there and search for this, and you can actually learn a lot of stuff. And there again, you got to learn how to read the internet too. There's a lot of crap out there. There's a lot of disinformation, misinformation, and it really becomes an art on how to weed through the crap and figure out what's really right. I can tell you this: you'll never get the whole information out of a single story. That will never happen. Never does happen. So anyway, let's get back to the main topic here. So the NDAA. Everybody should understand now Section 1021 is a bad thing. Shouldn't have ever been allowed to happen. But it should bring in mind why. Why in the heck were they so persistent about this? Okay. Well, the other things that have been ramping up in regards to the police state, the civil disobedience operations. The military has been, they have a new manual out, and it's FM3-39.40. It's entitled The Internment and Resettlement Operations. Well, what this deals with is the internment and resettlement camps that are already operational around the United States. And there again, this is not secret. This is an official military manual that you can go look at. Now, the actual, they do refer to some of the camps in that manual, not as a list, but just as a reference in some places because of the strategic value of that particular camp in regards to whatever they're talking about in the manual. But anyway, this is where it does get a little bit fuzzy, is exactly how many of these internment camps exist and where are they. You will see on the internet there people are saying there's upwards of 800 camps out here and out. I don't have the information to validate that or to invalidate that, but I know that someone has put a list out there that gives the locations of all these camps. I've gone out there and looked up these locations through Google Earth, and I can't substantiate a lot of those on that particular list. Okay. But here's what I do know for a fact, and that is the Rex 84 program from back in the 80s. Might have actually started in the 70s, but anyway, this was a program that actually allowed for detention camps to be built, and for the purpose of temporarily housing illegal aliens in preparation for deportation. And those camps are out there, and of course you can go out and actually read about the official program, through government documents, and that's all fact and stuff. Well, now there again, this is where you have to kind of look at it with common sense and look at the bigger picture. If they were, why would they be building internment camps for illegal immigrants? And there again, these are large these camps can handle a large amount of people, a very, very large amount of people. Now, why would they be building that? And then on the other hand, at the same time, they are doing everything that they can to not deter illegal immigrants from entering this country. And actually, they're doing just the opposite. They actually are encouraging. And when I say that, by the benefits, the government benefits that are allowed to illegal immigrants, and the prevention of, in other words, specifically Arizona, who stood up and said, "Hey, federal government, this is your responsibility. You're not taking care of your responsibility. We're going to take it into our own hands because our state is severely affected by this problem. We're going to start policing our own borders." And the federal government jumps up and says, you know, very aggressively as well, tries to stop them from doing this. Well, see, that doesn't make sense. So they've got all these camps that they're going to, you know, use when they round up all the illegal aliens to ship them out of here. And then at the same time, they're actually allowing them to come in, and they're coming in at record numbers. And there again, I have nothing against any ethnic orientation people anywhere, but I do believe that to come into this country, just as any other country, you come in legally and documented. And people need to look at that, because just about any other country in the world, their immigration policies and requirements are very, very strict, and they're enforced. We are the laxest country that I know of, and I've actually looked into this. We're extremely lax. There again, it's not by accident. It is not by accident. So anyway, back to the Rex 84 program. That's official internment camps that are out there. You can actually go out and find these camps. There are a lot of them are part of existing military camps, or a lot of the different forts out there. But anyway, there's also special built ones as well. And those were, I forget the actual appropriation dollars that was appropriated to build those camps, but it was huge. Okay, and now since then, Homeland Security has been granted money to build additional internment camps, and in which they have, and of course they were all, to my knowledge, they were all completed last year, actually, because actually last year, the first part of this year, they very subtly, publicly, but very, very subtly, were announced that they were staffing these camps, and these were being staffed by Bechtel, a large engineering construction company, one of the world's largest, was responsible for this. And of course, Bechtel is not exactly not exactly the best company out there. They fall right in line with Blackwater, the old Blackwater, and Carlisle, and some of those groups. So anyway, but they were responsible for the design and build construction, and also now they're also responsible for the operation. And then, so they were actively staffing some of these camps. So anyway, so we've got these, and there again, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, "Oh, this is just crazy, it can't be out there." Well, there, I just encourage you to go out there, and I will put a link to this, because this military manual is, as you can imagine, it's pretty large. It's not bad reading. You can actually, kind of skim through it and hit the headlines of each section and figure out what you kind of need to read there. But you need to read it. You need to look at it and understand what our military are being trained to do right now. And that brings up the next thing is the military, and this is really what kind of spurred me to go ahead and do this podcast now. And I want to do this in a little different way, because some of the things that I am going to reference right now in regards to military personnel coming forward with statements about this, I don't have an absolute verification on these guys. Of course, these guys conceal their identity. I'm going to be referring to one guy who came up and came forward, and he's being referred to as Soldier X. Now, the journalistic company that he came through, came forward through, they swear up and down that they vetted this guy. They've got his name. They've checked out his records, and he's legit. So I'm kind of going with that. It's a little different than, you know, what I usually do. Usually whenever I present you, I do have the information to back up everything there. So I'm just letting you know right up front. I don't have the information to actually verify this guy, but the significance of what he's telling you, I think, is important enough to bring it to your attention based on the other information, some of the other information that we just talked about. So, all right. I hope this makes sense. I know this is probably getting kind of boring, but in addition to that, there's also been several executive orders passed, actually throughout the years, really, but there's been some here recently that have been passed that make you kind of raise your eye. One of the ones is the National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order, which really, really kind of puts a lot of stuff in there. It essentially gives dictatorial powers to the president in case of any national emergency that is declared by the president. So, and of course, now executive orders to me are absolutely illegal, highly illegal. I don't understand how these things are allowed to exist. It gives the president the ability to write and put on the books laws without congressional approval or review. And I just don't agree. That's not what our government is based on at all. So it bypasses all the checks and balances. And it's something that should not be allowed. And you know, we need to start really expressing that to our congressmen. And as of recently, I believe it's been extremely abused. If I remember right, the executive orders, I believe they started back with Lincoln, I believe. So they've been going on for a long time, and they really shouldn't be allowed to be there. So, but anyway, the National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order, and let me see here, a couple of mouse clicks here. I can't remember this number off the top of my head. And I don't have it here in front of me either. So anyway, but you can look that up on the title itself. And there again, I do encourage you to do that. Because like I say, it does, it essentially allows the president to, in the event that a national emergency is declared, it allows the government to take over essentially everything in our society. Communications, energy, transportation, everything, food, everything that you can imagine will now fall under governmental control and regulation. So that is that's a little bit frightening. And also it allows the confiscation of Americans' weapons as well. And that's a very big issue. Just as a quick point here, don't ever let that happen, anybody. Don't ever let that happen. That is the one thing that truly is keeping us free right now. So don't, if they come, for your weapons, don't ever let that happen. And the best way to not let that happen is to be a unified force with other people. In other words, your neighbors, you need to be talking about this with your neighbors. And if they're not, we've talked about this before, come up with an approach to talk to your neighbors, because people just that are not aware just refuse to believe a lot of this stuff. So anyway, you have to come up with an approach. But there again, the best way to protect yourself and is to be kind of unified within your community and offer resistance. And also, one of the big things I want to talk about here too is the awareness of your sheriff. You need to have, as an individual or as a community, have discussions with your sheriff and find out where he stands on a lot of this stuff. Because I can guarantee you one thing, he is aware of this stuff. He knows about this stuff because it does come to him. He is our last kind of defense shield of our republic. It's how it's been laid out, and it's the sheriff has been very important. The sheriff has a lot of power, and like I say, it's for a reason. That power was put in the community. It's not put on a higher level. It was intentionally put in the community. So, call your sheriff up and have a discussion with him. Say, listen, I'm kind of hearing this stuff. I don't know if it's crap. I don't know if it's whatever. Talk to him. He knows about this. I can guarantee you that. So we have this, the National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order. Need to, you know, check it out. I'll put it on the website, nwo3.com, so you can read it there. Let me just go ahead and get to these confessions here from some military people. Make sure there's something else I want to talk about here. So I'll put out there the internment and resettlement operations manual for the military. I'll put out there some information about how other information about how the military is preparing for civil disobedience and how they have been and the kind of training they've been going through. And there again, you know, well, here's another thing too, is that, you know, the military was deployed an armed brigade, actually from third ID, which is actually near where I live, and was deployed back in 2005 in the United States, which is unconstitutional. It's not allowed. They were deployed in the United States, and they were the official stated reason on the day that they were actually deployed, and they were deployed up in, I don't know, Northern Command, but up in somewhere in Minnesota or somewhere. They said that this was for, in preparation for, civil disobedience. And unfortunately, the guy who did the press conference wasn't supposed to say that, evidently, because they retracted that within that day. And they said, oh, no. This is the only reason that we're deploying these guys is for, in preparation for natural disasters and, you know, bringing under control and being able to provide the people with the things they need. Well, we have other resources for that. We have, our FEMA is supposed to be doing that. We have our National Guard is supposed to be out there doing that. And if you're really going to bring in the military, you don't need them to be armed. Because you can actually bring in the military in an unarmed situation, but they are not unarmed. They're fully armed, live ammunition. So there we go. That was something that was snuck in back in 2005. And the amount of military that has been deployed in America has grown very, very quietly. So there's actually, and also there has been a lot of an increasing amount of foreign militaries that have been training with our military in the United States in recent years. Now, this has been going on for a long, long time, but in recent years, it's ramped up, you know, a lot. We have had Chinese forces over here training with us. We have had Russian forces over here. This is recently. I mean, in the past few months, we've had these guys. We've had Turkish. We've had, you know, Israeli, of course. Actually, Israelis are here all the time, pretty much. And, and that should alarm people. Because here's a problem is that, you know, now this is what I see, and this is just my interpretation of this, and this is, would make me, just aware, okay? They're bringing these guys in and training them, and they're training them on, you know, civil disobedience, you know, urban combat. Essentially, urban situations is what we're training on. Well, if you think about this and you understand this situation that we're talking about here, as far as the growing police state, what advantage could that possibly be for them to do this? And here's one thing just to keep in mind is that hopefully a lot of our military, the ones that are coming forward are saying, hey, there's actually a lot of the guys in our military who's really aware of what's going on. And they're not going to do this. They are not going to disarm American citizens. They're not going to imprison American citizens. Well, great. That's good. So what happens if that's a significant number? And so now they can't get the civil disobedience, and there again, we'll kind of talk about that in a second here, brought under control with our own military because we have essentially defectors, you know, mainly, and they're actually defecting because of the oath they took for the Constitution to defend the Constitution. Well, how would they actually proceed? Well, if they had another international military force in place that had no commitment to our Constitution, had no empathy for U.S. citizens whatsoever, probably wouldn't get any resistance out of those guys. Okay, just think about that. That's just food for thought. I have no proof whatsoever of that. That's just my idea. But anyway, we don't need. Bottom line is, we don't need to be training any foreign military here, anywhere else. We don't need to be selling anybody weapons. It's just common sense. All right, I'm not going to get off on that rant. The civil disobedience. Okay, let's go ahead and just bring this up here. Now, this is where I'm deviating from what I normally do. And I'm going to pass along rumors. It makes me cringe to do this, but they are of such a potential relevance to what's going on right now that I just think that we need to talk about this. Anyway, let me just kind of go through and skim this report here. I actually have two of them. Here's a guy, a Marine drill sergeant in Bozeman, Montana, talking to an unidentified Marine drill sergeant. There again, I have not been able to verify this message whatsoever, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Kind of just read you through here. He said, "I'm still kind of reeling from what a U.S. Marine admitted to me in a long conversation. A crack U.S. Marine drill sergeant with 12 years of professional training and being a trainer in the Marines. He specialized in hardening them to win, i.e. fire on women, children, whenever appropriate, and show no mercy." And you know, some people might question that, but that's actually a fact. Our military does do that. He confirmed lots of things to me that I already knew and revealed a lot of new things. Marine confirms prisoner box cars repositioned everywhere for martial law. Now there again, I know that's kind of a scary subject. There is a lot of reports out there about these prison cars. Unfortunately, any and all the pictures that I've seen of these supposed prison cars doesn't really get it for me. To me, they're all, I can legitimize them as being enclosed car carriers. So I've not been able to confirm this at all about prison cars. But anyway, here's a guy saying that, hey, they have been positioned everywhere in Montana. Back to the article. He admitted, actually he boasted, would be more appropriate, that there were indeed prison box cars repositioned everywhere throughout Montana. The military has properly assessed the civilian resistance militia threat under martial law and hence had everything in place for a military takeover using Marines very heavily. Here's a quote from the guy. "Why do you think they have the Marines in place in Billings, Montana?" he bragged. He explained that Marines will be used most heavily in Montana and nationwide under martial law, and he was evidently quite proud of the role. He admitted that he had been hardened to kill, and that killing women and children would be a part of their agenda wherever deemed necessary. Why? He said that under a state of martial law, it is a known fact that women can be used, and even children, to convey information to the enemy. Now, obviously not all Marines are this hardcore, but you need to understand there's a lot of them that are this hardcore. And unfortunately this guy is a drill sergeant. He's a leader. He shared how many men in his platoon stationed overseas have been killed or hurt because of a Marine refused his orders to fire on women and children. And he said I'll go into some of that stuff here. It's kind of a little bit icky. He said, "We discussed the boxcars and shackles and military detention camps under martial law issue. A knowing smile broke out on his face as I described to him my research on future martial law and the role of prisoner boxcars with shackles. When I mentioned how my research on this subject brought me to the High Line, which is the railroad tracks that run parallel to Highway 2 in northern Montana," he admitted, "the boxcars are not just up there. We have them spread out all over Montana, Billings, Bozeman," and he went on to say, name multiple cities in Montana. Termination in the prisoner boxcars, Marine style. He discussed what would happen once people were arrested under martial law and brought into these boxcars. Okay, I'm not going to go into those kind of gory details there again without having this verified. But the main point is here, this is not intended to scare people. It's just, just be awake. If it's not true, it's not going to hurt anyone to be aware. Okay, just that things like this could happen. You must look back through history. All of how, Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, how they tried to, acquire, dictatorial control. And so you need to realize that this is how that happened in the past, and that, it can happen again. There are people out there that want this to happen. Okay, so Soldier X, he's in the Army National Guard in Texas, and he came forward and was saying that in a briefing that they were instructed that they would be treating doomsday preppers as terrorists, and when the civil disobedience breaks out and that all doomsday preppers were to be treated as terrorists. And of course, he was also saying that they had a list, that they already had a list of doomsday preppers, I guess. Now, what he was being told by his commanding officer, this was in a briefing, it wasn't a face-to-face, it was with, I guess, the whole unit, that this was in preparation or in an expectation that after the election that there was going to be some civil unrest if Romney gets elected. And they were saying that this is because of all of the supposed attempts or talks of assassinating Romney if he's elected. Well, what about you guys? This is where kind of common sense comes into play as well. This is a very, very important election, it is. Last one was extremely important as well. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to estimate that 99.9% of everybody out there has no thoughts whatsoever, no inclination to go out and assassinate our president. And then the ones that do, I would say 99% of those guys are just hot air. They're just talking about it. Nobody would do this. Nobody would even think about doing this. And there again, the reason that I say this is not just because, I think people are generally good, because majority are, but there's a lot are. But just looking at history, I've looked through the assassinations of our presidents in the past and the assassination attempts that have occurred, and every one of these are explained and justified and proven by that they were initiated and conducted by this essentially shadow government, if you will. And there again, this is going back to starting with Andrew Jackson. He had two attempts on his life, and that was because he was going to get rid of the Second Bank of the U.S., which was a Rothschild-style central bank. And so he had his life attempted back then. Kennedy was shot for the same reason, because he was shot. He was going to bring out the greenback, which he was pushing back on the British bankers, Bank of England, Rothschild banks, and he wasn't going to take their loans for Reconstruction after Civil War. He was going to introduce the greenback, and they weren't going to have that, because so they took him out. And then you can come up to go to Lincoln. Kennedy, and Kennedy, actually, they had many, many reasons that they could have taken him out, and because of his refusal to authorize the Operation Northwoods, and also because he was going to, he was initiating an effort to, perhaps end the Federal Reserve, but at very least he was actually going to, really return to a gold standard of money, and they weren't going to have that either. So they took him out. So anyway, I can't find a president who's ever been assassinated or even attempted to be assassinated because of his political views, and more specifically, that was assassinated or attempted to be assassinated by just a general, you know, citizen. And even Reagan, you know, the guy that took Reagan out. I mean, you know, that's a very, very interesting story that you, I can guarantee, if you haven't looked into it, you don't know that story. And that's an extremely interesting story about who it was, the guy that actually attempted the assassination, and everything leading up to that. But anyway, this guy is being told they're going to be, you know, preparing for civil disobedience, perhaps martial law, and they're going to be treating doomsday preppers as terrorists. And the reason given is because of the rumors, which I haven't heard any, but about possibly an assassination attempt on Romney if he's elected. So, okay. But anyway, so that's what he's saying. He's saying that they've been instructed that when this happens, they will be going out and disarming American citizens. And they will be, you know, they expect to be defects within the military, and they will be detaining those people as well. That's a military guy talking about this. Now, there's another rumor here. Now, again, Soldier X is not a rumor. I just couldn't validate who he is. He's keeping his identity secret. But the people who did come out with it say that they do have his identity, and he's legit. So, the other thing is that and this is a rumor too. Now, this is reported by Canadian Free Press, which Canadian Free Press is usually pretty good. They're usually pretty accurate. They're not part of the mainstream media cobble or whatever. But there again, this is a rumor, and even they said it in there, but they thought it important enough to print it as well. But they emphasized this is just a rumor, and that is that they talked with a high level Department of Homeland Security person who will not identify, and he has came out and said that he has been involved in meetings to where the Department of Homeland Security is being prepared for the issuance of martial law as the result of a attempted assassination attempt that will occur on against President Obama. And they actually mentioned before the election, but it seems like there's some ambiguity about that. But anyway, that is kind of alarming. The only reason that I do bring this up is because it is Canadian Free Press, and that they are citing a high-level Department of Homeland Security person here who they know this guy. It's just that they haven't been able to substantiate the story through anyone else. So it's a single source story, thus they're still calling it a rumor. But because of everything else that's going on, kind of have to pay attention to this one. There's a lot of the crap out there. You know, it's like we just talked about the guys being instructed at the National Guard to be ready for martial law because of these rumors that Romney's going to be assassinated. I haven't heard any of that at all. I'm sure it's a whole bunch of that crap out there, but anyway, now here's another thing that you need to make sure people understand. That is, in recent months, the Department of Homeland Security primarily has been purchasing large quantities of ammunition. And these are unusual purchases for the Department of Homeland Security. Now I'm going to go through. Now you haven't heard about this. Well, maybe you have heard about it a little bit. The one that you might have heard about is the Department of Social Security went out and they purchased 175,000 rounds of ammunition. The media, the mainstream media, did report on that subject a little bit. But that's kind of one of their tactics, okay? They'll kind of get, it's a little diversion here. They'll give you that little story there. So if you actually hear about, any part of government purchasing ammunition, you're automatically going to think, well, the Department of Social Security purchased 175,000 rounds, and that, it's to arm their security agents at the, it's kind of normal. Well, here's the rest of the story. Department of Homeland Security recently has purchased 1.7 billion rounds. That's billion with a B. And I'll kind of go and kind of detail out this a little bit. They've purchased over 1 million rounds of 223 hollow point. They have purchased over 500,000 rounds of 223 non-hollow point. That would be practice ammunition. 223 would be long range personnel ammunition. They have purchased 220,000 rounds of number 7 12 gauge shotgun, and that's primarily target ammo as well, practice ammo. Over 200,000 rounds of double alt buckshot 12 gauge, that's anti-personnel. 66,000 rounds of 12 gauge slugs, that's anti-personnel. Over 2 million rounds of 357 jacketed hollow points. That's anti-personnel. Over 4 million rounds of 40 caliber jacketed hollow points. Over 60,000 rounds of 308 sniper rounds. That's anti-personnel. In addition, they've also purchased hundreds of thousands of rounds of 38 special, 45 auto, 9mm, and 7.62 ammunitions. This is extremely unusual. And the Department of Homeland Security has been asked on numbers of occasions to justify and provide reason for this. And I have not been able to uncover any comment regarding this. Well, the only thing they're saying, it is, they're actually not saying this. They're only saying no comment. But these are all the things that you just need to keep in mind. This is going on. This is very highly unusual. Highly unusual. Look at the departments within the Department of Homeland Security and see who would need ammunition, okay? The Coast Guard, okay, Coast Guard needs ammunition. They don't need 1.7 billion rounds. 1.7 billion rounds is enough to shoot every person in the United States four times. It's just a lot of ammunition. But, anyway, it's questionable. Okay, so just want to bring that to your attention. There again, I do dislike this whole, aura of this podcast because of, I am telling you some things that are rumor, but they're from trusted sources is the only reason I pass it along. And even they come out and they say, hey, this is actually just a rumor, but it's from a credible source. But anyway, so the purpose for it is just awareness. You need to be aware of what's going on. Need to be aware of these stories. You make your own decision. Okay. So now, if something does happen, what we need to make sure is that this is what I'm hearing is that, it looks like, people are going to be intentionally inciting civil disobedience in several different forms or fashion, for a purpose. And so what people need to be aware of is if and when this happens, if you're aware of all these stories, you can sit back and think, wait a minute, you know, I believe this is all BS. This is a bunch of crap. If you don't, if you're not aware of this, it's going to be much too easy for you to jump on the bandwagon and start, you know, protesting, and hopefully that's all, but being violent and getting involved in this civil unrest, which is manufactured, which is what they want to happen. So we don't need to do that. So if you're informed about stuff, about this going on, you won't get involved in this stuff, and you'll be prepared. And also you'll be prepared for, you won't give up your arms. Okay, guys, listen, thanks for attending. I know this was a gloom and doom kind of deal here, but it's just about awareness is all it is. So anyway, y'all have a good week, and I'll be talking to you soon.